Amen. This is the first time that I've had the privilege to address this congregation on a Sunday morning in 2017, and so I believe that it be fitting after the week of prayer and for this message tonight. God gave me this message sometime a few days ago, and I shared it with Brother Judd in the congregation in revival last night. Was a week ago, and some of you were there, so this will be the second time around for that. And I believe God's going to help us, and the word of God is very timely. So let's read Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound for them that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. Verse 13 said, he watered the hills from his chambers. Verse 14 said, he caused the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Verse 19 says, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning for a little while on this thought. Simply this, it's time. Amen. It's time. Praise God. What a powerful psalms this morning. Amen. This psalm introduces us to God, the creator of the earth, the creator of heaven and earth, creator God. In the Hebrew, it's actually called here El Elyon, E-E-L-E-L-Y-O-N, El Elyon. What that means literally is God Most High, creator and possessor of heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, it says. Can you say amen? God owns the cattle of a thousand hills, and the old man said all the taters in those hills, God owns them as well. And let me tell you this today, if God created it, God controls it. Can you say amen? I said if God created it, God controls it. That's why I'm not worried about melting polar ice. I'm not worried about 80 degree weather in January. I'm not worried about global warming or global freezing. We had global freezing last weekend, global warming this weekend, and we'll have something in between probably next weekend. But understand this, you don't have to get bent out of shape about it. Let Al Gore have panic attacks about the climate. I'm going to rest in the assurance of God's power and God's grace and God's glory. Amen. God created it, therefore he will take care of it. What is it, preacher? Whatever it is, God's got it and God controls it. If it's this old Milky Way and this old world universe that we know of, or if it's my little world and what's going on in my world, or what's going on in your world, can I tell tell you, God's in control. The devil is not in control. The devil is not calling the shots. The devil is not in the power of authority today. But God is ruling, and God is ordering, and God is orchestrating, and therefore I can declare that my steps are ordered of the Lord, and God leads me, and where God leads me, God will keep me. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, it might get above my head, but it's still under his feet. It does not get above God. God doesn't have a plan B. God doesn't have to fall back and regroup. No, sir. He is in control today. Hallelujah. Look over at your neighbor and tell him God's got it. What is it? It didn't matter. God's got it. Amen. The financial, the medical report, the family problem, God's got it. I acknowledge him in all my ways. He shall direct my path. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to thine own understanding. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Come on, somebody. Amen. Me and you trying to figure out God is like a mosquito trying to understand Einstein. It's never going to happen. It's two different worlds, two different universes, if you will. But just know this, that God is in control. These verses reveal to us a God who is both powerful and particular. He did not create this world in a haphazard, reckless manner. No, sir. There was divine order. There was design, brother, in everything that God done, from the number of the stars in the Milky Way to the stripes on the side of a zebra. The finger of God is upon every bit of it, from Petunias to Halley's Comet. God is in control. Amen. Dig down as far as you can go and you'll find God in control. Try to go to Mars, if you will, and you'll still find that God is in control. From the earth to the sun to the moon to the stars, he left nothing to chance. Isn't that an awesome thing? To know that God is in control. That's why David said, Lord, what is man that you're mindful of him? You're such a great God. You're such a powerful God. Why do you condescend to come down to our level? Because he loves us. He's a God that loves to tabernacle with his people. But he's a God of order. He's a God of structure. He doesn't fly by the seat of his britches. He does nothing off the cuff. He does nothing in a haphazard, offhanded manner. I'm telling you, God is deliberate. Amen. I said God is deliberate. He doesn't zigzag from here to there. He doesn't have to run from this corner to that corner. God started this thing 6,000 years ago, and it has progressed exactly like God said. Amen. He shows us the order of God and the handiwork of God all through the Old Testament. He never let it rain on this earth, Genesis said, until he created a man to till the ground. He's not going to waste anything until it's time for it to happen. The book of Numbers shows us a God that says you're going out of here, Israel, defeating Egypt, and you're going out in rank, you're going out in order. You're not going out of here as a mob, but you're going out of here as a mighty army. And they marched out that night having conquered Egypt. Brother, God, chapter after chapter, book after book, God proves his orderliness. He proves the divine handiwork throughout all of Scripture, and everything in this Bible is pointing to one thing, and that is the coming of the Messiah. See, God does nothing before it's time. Amen. God doesn't get in a hurry. How many know you can't rush God? You ever tried to rush God? Amen. That's like a woman trying to rush that baby to be born. It's not going to happen. When's that baby going to be born? When it's time. Hello? When it's time. When's the pear tree going to bloom out? When it's time. When's the fruit going to come on the vine? When it's time. Amen. God, through that Old Testament, everything is pointing to a countdown. A countdown. The clock is ticking to the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God. Yet the Old Testament ended without a Redeemer, without a coming of the Son of God, without any hope, without any encouragement. And for 400 years, this world lay in spiritual darkness between Malachi and Matthew. For 400 years, there was no open vision, no prophecy, no revelation, no moving of God whatsoever. And man thought and the devil thought that God had forgotten about the progressiveness of revelation and redemption. But can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God did not forget. And what the earth did not know was that before there'd ever been a star slung into the heavens, amen, there was a lamb slain and the foundation of the world. And God had already decreed and declared that when it is time, he is going to come. When everything gets right, he's going to come and it's going to happen. And can I tell you, when the time got right, that's when it happened. Oh, they looked for him. They thought others was him. They thought this one was the Redeemer, that one. They even thought that John the Baptist was him. We're looking. But I love the way that Paul put it in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time, not a time, and not fullness of time, and not sometime, but the fullness of the time was come. Amen. When things reached the crescendo, when everything reached maturity, when all of the I's were dotted, when all of the T's were crossed. Come on, somebody. When everything lined up, not the stars, God already put them in alignment, but when all of the prophecies were ready, when everything was ready, when that little girl Mary was born to her mom and daddy, amen, the clock started counting down and it started ticking down. And God said, what she don't know is that when she hits a certain age, she's going to get a visitor by the name of Gabriel, who's going to come and tell her that she's highly favored among God and chosen by the Holy Ghost, and that God is going to come upon her. And when the fullness of the time was come, Jesus Christ came, not a minute too early, not a second too late, but he came right on time. That phrase, the fullness of the time, literally means the end of an appointed period. But when the end of an appointed period was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the end of the appointed period was come. When did Jesus come? When that thing reached finality. When that thing climaxed, when God looked over, God the Father looked over to the Son and said, it's time now. It's time for you to lay aside your heavenly splendor. It's time for you to lay aside your spiritual glory and take up the form of flesh and to become man and dwell among them. Brother and sister, when did Jesus come? When it was time, at the appointed period of time, he came. And for the next 3.5 years, Jesus, anointed by the Holy Ghost, went about doing good, healing all those the Bible said that were oppressed by the devil. And what was he doing? He was saying, it's time. It's time for the blind to see. It's time for the lame to leap. It's time for the deaf to hear. It's time for the dead to come back to life. It's time for the poor to have the gospel preached to them. It's time for the loosing of the prison to them that are bound. It's time for the shackles to fall off. It's time for man to see God, to know God, and to experience experience God. His whole ministry declared, it's time. It's time. When did he work? When it was time. He didn't do anything haphazard. He didn't do anything without divine forethought. Everything was led by him. You're talking about meticulous. You're talking about order. You're talking about spiritually OCD. That was Jesus. Even as a young boy, he said to his mom and daddy, "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" One thing drove him was to do the will of the Father. When it was time, not before, but when it was time. How did he know it was time? Because he walked with the Father. He and the Father were one. He prayed to the Father. He dwelt with the Father. He interceded to the Father. Amen. Everything about the life and ministry of Christ was punctuated by its time. It's time for the thirsty to drink. It's time for the hungry to eat. It's time, as Brother Logan saying, for the lost to be found and the dead to be raised. It's time for the glory of God to manifest itself. The life and ministry of Christ was punctuated by divine timing. He was not a reckless redeemer doing random works here and there. No, sir. Everything that he done was in divine sequence and order to carry out and demonstrate a divine truth of revelation. Everything about him. Listen, it wasn't, folks, by chance that he wound up, or coincidence, that he wound up in Cana of Galilee at a wedding. He didn't wake up that day and say, "Boys, what's on the calendar?" And they say, "Well, we don't have nothing to do, Lord." He said, "Well, let's go to that wedding this afternoon." You know, he had a group to feed. He said, "At least I can get some free food and punch and drink, cake and stuff." Hello? Don't sit there and look at me like that. You know you've been to things, and first thing you said was, "I wonder if they're going to have food." Amen. What kind of food? Oh, not those, what the old man call them, those horse divers, hors d'oeuvres. Not those little things that the more you eat them, the hungrier you get. Amen. But some real food, praise God, like some chicken and sausage or pork. Amen. Something like that. No, he didn't say, "I wonder where we can go to get a freebie today." No, no. Amen. He said, "We got to go to this wedding." Amen. Why? Because it was in the divine order of God. Even when he got there and they ran out of wine, and his mama said, "Jesus, they have no wine." What did he tell her? "Lady, it's not time yet, woman. It's not time." Amen. He was speaking to her of a greater revelation than where she was at. But she turned to the servants and said, "Whatever he says to you, I want you to do that." And the miracle, the first miracle that he performed, was turning water into wine. Amen. Wine represents the Holy Ghost. Wine represents the Spirit and the power of God. Why did he choose that as his first miracle? Because he was telling me and you that the work of God must always be of the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the Spirit. The work of God must be punctuated by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He was saying, from this time forward, it's going to be done by the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He's saying, from henceforth, every work that I do and every work that my people do must be birthed by the Spirit. Water was earthly, natural. You can find it flowing most anywhere. He said, "You've been doing it the natural way. You've been going through the ritual. You've been going through the water. The lambs, the rams, the turtle doves, all of it," he said. "You just been drinking water, drinking water." He said, "But now I'm turning old into new. I'm turning unfulfilled into fulfilled. What did he tell them? This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day are you seeing the works of God. This is the day. Amen. And from that wedding, he marched forward in the power of the Holy Ghost after he had served notice on religion and served notice on the devil that everything he was going to do was not going to be of his ability. It was not going to be of human origin. It was not going to be of earthly power, but it was going to be of a supernatural word through the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe he's telling me and you today that that job that is to be done, those souls that are to be won, they're still going to have to be brought in through a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Ghost of God. He's still telling that church that if you're going to follow me, if you're going to do my work, you got to let me turn your water into wine. You've got to let me turn your earthly ability and your earthly talent into something supernatural. You've got to let me change what you've done up to this point. Amen. It's run out. It'll only go so far. But when I give it to you, it'll be better than anything you've ever had in your life. Nothing can compare to the Spirit and the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. You see, man's ability will run out. Who made that first batch? Man did. Who concocted it and created it? Man did. And it ran out and left them thirsty. It's a bad time to run out of wine. Church, it'd be a bad time to run out of wine. Right now. You hear me? It's no time to kick back and prop our feet up and wait on Jesus to come. It's no time to bask in the laurels of victory. It's no time to be content with what happened in 2016. But it's time to go forward. It's time to seize the moment. It's time, like Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me. I'm pressing forward. Last year's failures, last year's finals, last year's tests, tragedies, and triumphs must be left in the dustbin of history. We must arise and go forward and say, oh God, I tried it last year and I ran out. I tried it and I failed. My efforts fail. But if, oh, I can tap in to the power of the Holy Ghost, if you'll come into this vessel, Lord, and turn my water into wine, if you'll turn my inability into your ability, if you'll turn my natural into your supernatural, if you'll turn my ordinary into extraordinary, if you'll turn my normal into abnormal, then we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We shall cast out devils in the name of the Lord. We shall see God go forward. We shall see Jesus lifted up. We shall see souls saved and backsliders brought home if we allow him to turn our water into wine. Give him a hand clap of praise. It's time. If we ever going to do it, it's now. It's like I thought about when we were there preaching at Pleasant Ridge. One night while I was preaching, my mind reminisced a bit to a sermon that was preached in revival there many years ago when I was a young teenager. Brother Thurston Harris was the evangelist. And he told the story of two boys that was out in the woods bear hunting. Two boys, one gun. That's a bad situation. Somebody's liable to get eat. And the old bear charged them. And the old boy had the gun, pulled it up, pulled a bead on that bear. and that bear's a closing in. Gallop after gallop, he's getting closer, Brother Brett. Amen. And that boy hadn't pulled the trigger. Amen. It's like he's paralyzed with that gun. And that old boy standing behind him, Father, he finally hollers and said, "Shoot, Luke, or give up the gun." Hallelujah. Brother and sister, I believe God is telling the church to shoot or give up the gun and give it to somebody that will. Get out of the way and let somebody carry it. If you're not going to carry it, let somebody else pick it up. If it's too heavy for you, let somebody come alongside of you. If you can't make it by yourself, let God send you some help. Let God send you some encouragement. There's a bear from hell that's barreling down on all of us. Amen. He's got us in his sights. But if somebody will pick up the shotgun of the word and load it full of the Holy Ghost and draw a bead on the devil, I believe that we can slay him and turn to flight the armies of the enemy and see God bless and move in this church in this year like we never saw before. Woo, come on. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, shoot or give up the gun. There's a time to panic, and then there's a time to pull the trigger, Elizabeth. Time to shoot. Amen. We can't let somebody else do it. Everybody wants to let somebody else do it. We'll be like the old Amish or the Quaker that didn't believe in violence, and he had a mule. That mule's the most ornery thing you ever seen. And he tried that Quaker's patience so much, he almost made him be a backslid Quaker. Amen. One day he got so outdone with that mule, he said to him, "Mule, if you do not cooperate with me, though I am not a man given to violence, I shall give thee to the Pentecostal, and he shall beat the devil out of thee." Woo! Praise God. I'm telling you, brother, if you can't handle it, give it over to somebody who can. Hey, can I tell you, I know a man who can. I said, I know a man who can. His name is Jesus. He's got impeccable credentials. Don't you ever doubt his ability. He's called the sea walker, the blind man healer, the miracle worker, the dead raiser, the redeemer, the life, the light, the morning star, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb of Judah. He's called the one, amen, that's able to turn darkness into light. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think this morning. Many of us saw hard trials last year. Tough times. Some would even say hardest year they ever had. Hardest situations. Some trials are over. Some are still going on. Some of the trials, sad to say, whipped us. But the comeback only made us stronger. Because you can't have a comeback unless you have a setback. And the comeback is made stronger because the memory of the setback is burning in your mind. And you say, I'm not going to get beat again. I'm not going to get whipped again. I'm not going to get caught off guard again. I'm going to remember God. I'm going to know God. I'm going to experience God. Amen. But my thing is, preacher, when is this trial going to end? Listen, I don't know. Amen. You may be in a trial here this morning. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't have a crystal ball. There's nothing in this book going to tell me exactly when your trial is going to end. Amen. But I can tell you this, that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth, when that thing reached the end of an appointed time, God sent the Savior. The Savior brought healing. The Savior brought victory. The Savior brought deliverance. Can I tell you that are in trials and struggles this morning, when the end of your appointed trial comes, when the end end of your appointed test comes, when the end of your storm comes, and only God knows when that's going to be, the Lord will send forth an outpouring of the Spirit of God. The Lord will send forth His signs and wonders and encourage and bless and strengthen you. In the meantime, hold on until God says it's time. And when God says it's time, it'll be over. It'll be done. It matters not what the devil says or does. When God says it's over, it's over. Job said, I don't know how long this trial's going to last, but I know that my Redeemer lives. And he said that when I'm tried, I'm going to be tried. And Brother Curdy said, I shall come forth as gold. There was no question in the mind of Job the outcome of the thing. It was already a foregone conclusion. I'm coming out of it. Why? Because God won't put no more on me than what I can stand. The Lord knows it the way that I take. Amen. He sees me where I am. And in every trial and every test, He has made a way of escape. And casting all your care upon Him, Peter said, because He cares for you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, I'll be your strength and I'll be your help. And I'll care. Preacher's about to drive me crazy. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I'm about to have panic attacks and stress attacks. I'm going through all of these kind of things. My emotions are running out of control. My mind is raging out of control. It doesn't seem like I'm in my right mind sometimes. What's going on? You're caught up in the storm. You're caught up in the stress and the pressure of life. You're caught up in that trial. But can I tell you, God hasn't abandoned you and God hasn't forsaken you. God knows right where we are. He sees everything that we're going through. And as surely as that trial had a start, it will have a finish and it will be over. And God will say enough is enough at some point, at some time, at some place. God will declare, enough is enough, devil. You got to take your hand off of her. You got to take your hand off of him. It is enough. It's over. It's time for victory. It's time for blessing. It's time for an anointing. It's time for a breakthrough. It's time for a move from God Almighty. It's time. Hallelujah. But until then, until then, you know what we got to do. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. When you've done all you can do, stand. He said, stand therefore. And having done all, stand. Sometimes, come on, Brother Trent, get ready. Sometimes you won't be going forward. Sometimes you just got to stand. Stand the trial. Stand the heat. Stand the pressure. Stand the storm. Withstand it, if you want to use those words. But stand. Don't back up. Don't worry about going forward at this time. Just stand. Just stand. Sometimes it takes more of God to stand than it does to go forward. Because going forward lets you know I'm coming out of this. I'm a step closer, Brother Corley, to being out of it than I was back there. I'm two steps closer to being out of it now. And when we can see that it's about over, when we understand the storm is about over, then that perks us up. But the thing is, being able to stand when you don't know if it's over or not. You don't know how far along it is. You could be a quarter away, a halfway, three quarters of the way. You have no idea. All you're doing is is saying, God, help me to stand until you say it's time. And when he, El Elyon, creator God of heaven and earth, possessor God of heaven and earth, says it's time, it'll be the end of your appointed time. Some trials last hours, some last days, some months, some even years. Yes, that's right. Years. A little let up, but then it'll come back. A little respite, and then it bears down on you again in all of its fury. And at those times, what did Paul said that they done over in Acts when they were caught up in that Euroclodon? He said, we cast out the anchor and wished for the day. That's an old English word that means waited, hoping, expecting, desiring for the day to break. Why? Because he said, we haven't seen sun nor moon nor stars, and we don't know how many days. And we just going to drop anchor. And like Betty Jean used to sing, we're going to ride out our storm. We just going to ride it out, God. As long as this boat holds, we're going to ride it out. As long as this old ship of faith holds, we're going to ride it out, God. I'll cover new ground after I come out of here. I'll get ahead of wind in my sails after this thing's over. But right now, I'm just focusing on standing in the storm. Right now, I'm just trying to get through the darkness of my trial and the heaviness of my burden. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right now, I'm just trying to make it. Right now, I'm just trying to hold on to God. Right now, I'm just believing that I can keep the faith. I'm not looking for handfuls on purpose. I'm not looking for bread turned into money or fish, money in a fish's mouth. Right now, I'm just looking for God to give me the wherewithal and the strength to endure in this time of trouble. And then when it reaches the appointed time and God says it's enough and it's time, then victory is going to come. Oh, hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is in control? I didn't give them these scriptures, but I love these in Psalms 105, verse 17 through 19. Talking about God and the children of Israel. And a fellow by the name of Joseph, he said, he, God, sent a man before them, even Joseph. Sent a man before them when? Because God knew there's going to be 7 years of plenty and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And God said, I'm raising up a Joseph, not to take care of the Egyptians, but to take care of my people. To take care of the world. God was concerned about the Egyptian, but it wasn't all for the Egyptians. Because God said, in that 7 years of famine, that's when I'm going to honor Joseph. You see, so God sent Joseph before. Well, how did Joseph get there? Did he buy a ticket and ride the Greyhound and go zooming into Egypt and apply for that position and get it? Oh, no. He had to go through the acrimony of his brothers, the hatred of a dysfunctional family, be thrown in a pit. Huh? As the scripture said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. But God, I thought it's going to be time for their sheaves to bow to mine. God said, it will, son, but it's not time yet. You got to go through about 13 years of training, Joseph, who was sold for a servant whose feet they hurt with fetters. They put him in chains. They bound him up. He was laid in iron. He was shackled manacled like a prisoner on a chain gang. Joseph, you don't understand it, son. You can't see it. The reason you're here is because it's not time yet. But when it gets time, isn't that what the scripture said? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time. Say the time. Until the time that his word came. Amen. How long I got to go through there until the time that God's word comes? The word of the Lord tried him, it said. The word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord proved him. The purpose of the storm, amen, is not to hurt us, but to help us. It's not to weaken us, but to strengthen us. And you got to go through it. Joseph didn't realize that to become a prince, he had to go to the pit and a prison. He had to learn about lies, deceit, forgetfulness, hatred. He had to learn that your own family can turn on you. He had to have some eye-opening experiences. But in the end, Joseph saved them. So what are you telling me, preacher? I'm telling you that no matter what you're in right now, or no matter what we may go through this year, amen, when it reaches the end of an appointed time, God will say it's enough. It's enough, devil. Leave them alone. Isn't that what happened to Jesus on the mountain for 40 days? The devil hit him with everything he had. And then the Bible said he left him for a season. He had to walk away from him. Why? Because God the Father said, it's time now. You've hit him with all you can. I've interceded, sent angels to minister to him. He's been fasting for 40 days with the beast of the woods abiding with him. He said, now it's time. And Jesus came out of that wilderness in the power of the Spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Oh, it won't always be a battle, folks. It won't always be a struggle. It'll be over sometime. God, just give us the strength to stand. Hallelujah. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many of you right now say, preacher, I know exactly what you're preaching about this morning. I know. You know what I want you to do? I want you to get up and come to this altar right now. Come on. Come on. Get up right where you are. Right where you are. We ain't going to play peekaboo this morning. Come on. Come down to this altar. I know exactly where you're, what you're talking about. I'm in that trial. I'm in that test. I've got to realize and understand. I don't know how long it's going to last, how bad it's going to get before it's over. I don't understand. I know nothing. I'm simply going to trust in God. And I'm going to know that when it reaches the end of an appointed time, Brother Jimmy, it's going to move. It's going to break. If that thing has a beginning, it's going to have an ending. Come on around. Let's get close in these altars. Come on up. Amen. Let's seek God this morning. Lord, I'm coming for you.